welcome to this podcast. Thanks for listening in today. This is Virtual Saguaro, your host. Today is Friday, the 12th of March, 2021. Today we'll be interviewing and discussing the accomplishments of two young designers and programmers of the LEGO Mindstorm robots. They were part of a team of eight persons from Fort Wayne, Indiana, who participated in a local contest. Although you will hear various aspects of the skills required in this endeavor, you're encouraged to view actual pictures of the robots, their contest settings, and a video clip of their team while participating in the regional contest. To view all these details, go to virtualsaguaro.com under the blog entries. Now let's let them tell their story. What am I looking at here? What is this thing?
So this is a robot, and so we use it to complete all our missions.
And how many missions do you have?
We have a lot.
Okay. So I'm looking at a table. Is each one of these things
we
called a mission?
We have 8 mission modules that we have to put up, and we had to build those in the first 3 weeks. But then some of the other missions we don't use modules for, as my fellow engineer will explain.
Okay.
We are only completing 8 of the missions, and there are blocks, and you can push blocks into a circle of its color or of its size. And then if you use your EV3 Lego brick and you put it onto a base with your attachments, you go around and complete the missions in a certain amount of time.
Oh, that's what, during the contest?
Yes, yeah. That's during the contest.
And so we have 2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes.
Is the time limit. And a lot of people actually get a lot of missions done. And
okay,
it's surprising
you
what you
can do. A minimum
do.
Of 8? Can you do more
no,
than 8?
No, we can
you
do
can
as
do
many
as
we
want.
Oh, okay. So does the contest give you the idea of lots of missions and you choose which ones you
yes,
want to do?
Yes, it does.
Are some worth more points than others?
They are of different point values. So
okay.
If their color match with the circles, it's worth more. And if it's with less color match, if it's not color matching, you have
table.
Less points.
Okay. All right, we're looking at a table. How long is this table? Any idea?
Maybe
I'm gonna guess
4 feet.
Looks like about 5 feet wide.
Yeah.
And maybe, probably 8 feet long. It's probably when you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, you buy a board for it. It's got 2x4s along the side. They're painted black. The bottom of the table is black. You can hear the table.
It's a piece of plywood.
And they've taken a piece of paper.
It's a Lego mat.
It's a Lego mat
that we bought from the Lego company, from
okay,
First
and this,
Lego
this
League.
Mat, and you'll look on the website, you'll actually see the pictures of this mat. It has a picture of like a city and some roads and trees and things like that.
There's a whole, each year there's a different theme. This year the theme was City Shaper. That's why there's city around.
Okay.
And you can see there's a little City Shaper and a little mini city.
Mm-hmm.
On the board there's the City Shaper logo. And over here we have our home. So this is our home. And then
okay.
This is our launch area.
Okay, so this black area that's not covered by the mat,
this is your home.
Okay, so when you're in a contest, you can do what you want down here?
Yes. If the robot's in here, we can do anything in here. However, if the robot's in here or out in the field, anywhere touching the mat, we cannot touch anything in
okay, what do you call this area with the curve, this little...
That's the launch area.
Launch area, okay. That's when you put your robot manually. You stick him on the launch area?
Yeah.
And then you say good luck?
Pretty much.
You hit a button and you line it up.
Okay.
And cross your fingers
and it
works.
Choose the right kind of program before you say launch,
right? Yes. We have a program list on our screen on the robot, on the intelligent brick, that's what it's called. And that's what we use.
It's a pretty small screen.
Very.
So all the people in your... in your group use, do they push buttons or do only certain people push
buttons?
Well,
we have 8 people on their team, and there can only be 2 people up at the table, and we have 3 tries, so we have 3 rounds, so we can only have 6 people
okay.
that'll go up.
So you rotate 2 people for the first
yeah.
round, a different 2 people?
Uh-huh.
And then the final third.
Okay, when you're designing these things, I know that people have different ideas about how to do things. So how do you guys as a team figure out what your final design or your method approach is going to be?
So we demonstrate a lot.
Demonstrate, so what's that mean?
We'll show them like how our idea works, and then if they have a better idea, then we'll look at that idea and we'll see which idea works best, and
okay,
then
so
that's the idea
we this use. Is even before you code it.
Yeah.
Right, just the basic idea.
So we have a motor control on there, so we can make it lift up and down.
What, you're talking about a specific thing?
Yeah.
Or just your robot?
On the robot.
Okay.
So then we can lift it up and down.
Okay. What do you think about that?
Well, in my opinion, to figure out ideas, we usually break into groups and brainstorm ideas. And then once we figure them out, we'll combine them and see which one will work. And then once we figure out which one works, then we will use that one. And if that doesn't end up working, then we'll change ideas.
Okay, so let's say now that you've been in a really good tournament with very experienced people, do you have some new ideas that you saw that you never thought about?
Yeah, yes. We have, there's an attachment that just sits on top of the robot.
You buy this
everything.
Attachment or you have to build
it? You have to build it.
Okay.
And some people, they bought colored Legos to make it look even fancier and it goes with their robot.
I don't know if looks make the points, though.
It doesn't. But they do that, and that's what makes them feel happy.
Stay with us. We'll take a short break. Come back. We'll start talking to some of the sponsors of these Lego contests. Let's take a moment and look back at this. These are young people that are very anxious and happy to be doing what they're doing, but they certainly need some sponsorship in the background, purchasing these Lego robotics and entering contests. So let's get a word from them and see what their viewpoint on this whole subject is.
Okay, I'm at the breakfast table, dinner table of two people who've just successfully organized and have gone through the effort to have a Lego competition. I think I saw the result of it, but tell me how this begins, because there must have been a lot of work ahead of time before you could actually do this. So what did you do? How did you get involved in this?
So we just had looked into it after we had heard a few stories from some people at my work, and they had talked about this first Lego League and how much fun they had seen the kids having. So we decided to see if our kids wanted to do it, and we looked around and didn't find any groups that we could join, so we decided that we would start our own. And, you know, we just went on their website and signed up for it and contacted a bunch of friends to see if anybody would be interested in it, and got six other kids, three other families.
Do you need eight children to be in a group?
It can be anywhere from 2 to 10 kids involved in the group. So
how old are they?
They are from supposed to be 9 to 14 as of January 1st. We ended up with 3 kids who were 8 as of January 1st. So we had to get special permission to have the younger kids in there, but they weren't too concerned about that. They just really don't want to have extra older kids in there. So.
Okay, so pretty cool to want to be in a Lego League. Do you own Legos, or did you own some at that time?
We had a few, but this was the robotics kind. We didn't have any of those ones before.
I've heard it called the Mindstorms.
Yeah, the Mindstorms, yep.
Okay, so who bought the Mindstorms? You guys have to buy them?
Yeah, so you know, when you're going together with a group of people, you kind of have to figure out how you're going to split things up. So we decided that we would just buy a kit ourselves, and one of the other families bought a kit as well, so that we'd have two robots, two identical setups, so that we could have one group building and another group programming and playing and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, we just bought it ourselves so that we can have it ourselves. So,
were you familiar with Legos before?
Not the Mindstorm ones, no.
No. Okay, so what did you do to become familiar with things?
YouTube to the rescue.
as always.
Yeah, pretty much. So we just went out on YouTube and kind of learned a little bit from it there. They do have a tutorial with the Mindstorm kit that you get, or with the software. So we went through that a little bit. And then about probably a month and a half into this setup, we had a coaches clinic that they put on at the university here. The lady in charge of the Indiana Lego League organized this thing, and it was just extremely helpful. She had a coach come in who had just years of experience and was willing to share with us anything and everything. So we asked him a lot of questions. He gave us a presentation, and we learned a lot from him on the best ways to do things, the best ways to lead your team. He gave us examples of methods that he used to motivate his team, and it was really cool. It was really interesting. So,
well, if I had to deal with 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, those kind of things, they require lots of rounding up and herding and putting them in the right direction. And so as parents, how did you handle your children and other children too?
So we had a pretty good group of kids. Occasionally, you know, there'd be a little bit of distraction here and there. But for the most part, most of them were really interested in doing it. They were really wanting to do the programming. So the hardest part was at the beginning, trying to get everybody doing the building and coming up with the base robot and the accessories and all that sort of stuff. But once we got that going, then the motivation really kicked in and everybody wanted to be programming.
How do you handle parents that want to get overly involved in making their programs and projects to be a winner? You
know? So that was a huge temptation for everybody. You know, everybody wanted to make it as amazing as possible because these Legos are fun to play with. And for the parents, we had three parents who were engineers and trying to, me included. So trying to have us step back and not do anything was really difficult. But the rules clearly stated that the kids needed to do the programming. So, you know, we kind of emphasized that with the parents. And once they saw the rules, that it made it a lot easier. And then we started seeing the parents really pushing the kids and encouraging the kids and kind of steering them more than anything. The kids would come back from home with, you know, having spent some time on the robots, and you could tell that they had done it, that they had been working on it, and, you know, Dad had been like, well, you know, they went with this route. I'm not sure I would have gone that route, but that's what they wanted to go. And it's like, that's perfect. That's exactly what we want, because, you know, the kids need to be leading this. And the kids came up with some amazing solutions to some of these problems. So it was really cool to see.
So in talking with the kids, they told us that basically you guys are a first-year team. You were a very young team, but you were quite successful for those circumstances. So are you looking forward to doing this again next year?
We're still trying to decide on that. I think we probably will. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, we were successful, a lot more successful than we thought we would be. We ended up being in the top three of the qualifying tournament, and we ended up going to the state tournament. So as a rookie team, we were pretty surprised at that. A lot of these teams have, you know, years and years of experience and that tribal knowledge that they pass down from team member to team member. They don't have to rebuild the same base robot. They can use the same one from past years and just change their accessories up depending on the missions. So, you know, we were coming in from scratch with no knowledge, and we did pretty good. So I think it would probably be fun to do it again, but we'll see how everybody's feeling 6 months from now. So.
Okay. And what would you recommend? Where would people go to get started? What, some website or some place to choose? Or how?
Yeah, so we went to firstinspires.org is where we got started. So it's...
spell that?
It's firstinspires.org.
Okay.
It's First is a organization that is out there to encourage STEM with students, and it's a really great organization from what we've seen. And they have First Lego League Junior, the First Lego League, and then they have like First Robotics, I believe it is. So they have different things for different age groups.
You know, when kids get together, whether it's competition or not, in a very large auditorium, there's going to be a lot of happiness and sounds and frivolity and consternation, all the different things that take place in a competition. I thought you might want to hear some of the background sounds before we actually hear the successful practice of some kids. And before all that can take place, before all the competitions, there's got to be a lot of practicing. So we asked these two young people to simulate one of their routines that they had to perform down in the basement where they were built this test studio. Let's listen in.
Okay, I'm about to watch the robot programmed by the software in the computer. How do you get the software to the robot? You plug a wire in?
It also does Bluetooth.
Okay, or Bluetooth. And they're getting their robot all lined up. They've got a little device that pushes it out just the right amount of distance, and I guess that lines it up with the black and white line. So they're going to push the button, and if everything goes well, it's going to go down the line and free up the traffic jam first.
Yes.
Okay, and then it's going to go down and release that lady on the swing. So we'll see if this happens. Okay, ready, set, go. You have to hold your breath. Okay. Whoa, it's. Oh, it found the line. It's doing something. It did it. It actually freed the traffic jam.
And now it's going,
way down here. It's going to try and let that.
Jam.
Whoa, it sure did that fast. Okay, then it comes all the way back home. Wow, I'm really impressed.
Once it goes in.
Congratulations.
Well, that's it for this podcast, and I hope you had a great day listening. If you want to learn more, go to virtualsaguaro.com. You can listen to this podcast and many other podcasts. Hoping you'll have a great day. This is Virtual Saguaro. Bye-bye.